The data comes from three Democratic senators who are also military veterans. The statistics released yesterday by Senators Jim Webb, Tom Carper, and Tom Harkin found that almost a quarter of the funds that were dispersed to veterans last year under the post-9/11 GI Bill went to just eight companies that run private, for-profit colleges. When the senators added up all for-profit colleges, the ratio jumped to a third of all GI Bill funds. Webb was the author of the bill. He says the figures are troubling, but not because for-profit schools are inherently bad.
The problem is not necessarily the growth of the for-profit sector. There are for-profit institutions that are providing our non-traditional population a great service. But with this amount of federal dollars being spent in this sector, we owe it to the taxpayers and to our veterans to carefully monitor and provide adequate oversight. Money that goes to a for-profit for tuition doesn't really go to the veteran. It enables a veteran to get an education. So fixing this problem is not taking anything away from the veteran. In fact, it's ensuring the continuation of the program.
The senators contend that the $1 billion that went to the eight companies does not give taxpayers the biggest bang for their buck. They found that even though a third of all GI Bill funds went to for-profit institutions, they only served about a quarter of the veterans the bill covers. Some veterans groups contend some schools explicitly target veterans with aggressive and deceptive marketing campaigns. Ted DeWalt is the president of Vet Jobs.
It is obvious to me that many predatory for-profit schools see military students as dollar signs in uniforms.
And in the case of predatory schools, the problem isn't just that they're expensive. Ryan Gallucci of the Veterans of Foreign Wars says they have substantially higher dropout rates, and frequently they're not accredited. He says veterans tend to get lured in by marketing promises, not realizing until later that the degree they're pursuing is not of much value.
When schools prey on veterans, they quite literally steal their benefits. For example, a veteran may enroll at a predatory school using up to 2 years of their GI Bill. At this point, the veteran realizes that the program is worthless, withdraws, and seeks education elsewhere. Unfortunately, credits from the predatory school don't count. The veteran must start over. With 4 years of school ahead, but only 2 years of benefits to pay for it, the veteran must now pay out of pocket, wasting time and taxpayer dollars, while the predatory school walks away with cash to find their next victim. We are only 2 years into the new GI Bill, so the VFW believes that we have not yet seen the worst of this phenomenon.
Delaware Senator Tom Carper, the chairman of the Senate Federal Financial Management Subcommittee, held a hearing on the issue yesterday. He contends the problem is one of misaligned incentives.
These institutions are a reward for enrolling more students, especially veterans with a fully paid-for education. But these schools have too little incentive to make sure that their graduates are prepared to actually complete their education and head out into the workforce, prepared to join that workforce and begin productive careers.
The Obama administration released new rules this summer that are intended to eventually make sure students are prepared for gainful employment from colleges that get any kind of federal funds. It would measure schools on whether or not their students are able to repay their student loans. But critics of the for-profit say they're also operating under a negative incentive. Under the so-called 90-10 rule, colleges are not allowed to get more than 90% of their revenue from federal funds, but money from the GI Bill doesn't count toward the 90% threshold. It's actually counted toward the 10% of non-federal funding that schools have to maintain, making veterans an even more attractive target for recruiting and marketing campaigns. There are proposals in Congress to count the GI Bill as federal funding. Curtis Coy, the Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity at the Department of Veterans Affairs, says the idea is worth considering.
However, such a change could cause some schools to exceed the 90% threshold and be at risk of losing eligibility to receive federal student aid. To ensure that veterans are not adversely affected, the manner in which such a change would be implemented is important.
But Gallucci says the 90-10 rule is only one issue. He says the state approving agencies that are tasked with making sure educational institutions aren't taking advantage of veterans simply don't have what they need to conduct their oversight mission. The post-9/11 GI Bill has already sent 587,000 veterans and military members to school over the past 2 years with $11 billion in new federal money. Gallucci says oversight funding hasn't kept pace.
They're the boots on the ground for enforcement. And what we've found is basically they've been broken. They've been broken for a long time. They do a great job with the resources they have, but they haven't had enough since 2006. They haven't had a funding increase since 2006. The new GI Bill came in place in 2009 and dictated that state approving agencies were going to have to take on even more work as a result. This benefit is too robust and their responsibilities are too great that at 2006 funding levels, there's no possible way that they can accomplish their mission successfully.
VA says part of its job is to educate veterans about their school choices so they're less likely to be taken in by deceptive marketing campaigns. The department says it's expanded its engagement with student veterans both before and after they start school. VA's also published a guide designed to help veterans evaluate factors like school graduation rates and how employers evaluate different kinds of college training. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.